Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Hey everyone, we're getting ready for economic season here at Consultant Connect, and I have Nick with us, and we are down to being able to count the number of seats left at economics this year on just two hands. But I think what is more important is obviously the urgency, if you haven't gotten your seat, to get with Nick ASAP. But we are doing something a little different with sponsorships this year. And while Nick is here, I wanted to have him share with you what sponsorship at economics this year will look like.
Yeah, and part of the Consultant Connect is we get the opportunity to really think outside the box and really give, you know, those that want to partner with us some unique opportunities to visit with the site consultants and have some, you know, different exposure that they, you know, normally wouldn't have as just an attendee. So we've created a couple of different unique sponsorships this year. We have an opportunity to sponsor one of our dinners. We have some entertainment sponsorships. And then we also have several general sponsorships left, which will give you access that the other attendees might not have. That'll give you an opportunity to meet with the consultants at a really cool sponsorship reception that we'll have the night before. And also will give you an opportunity to register for those office hour meetings a little bit ahead of time. So we'd love to have you partner with us. It turns out to be a really, really great event. We're now in our fourth year, and you know, a lot of sponsors have come back each year. So we really hope that you can make it. Let me know, Nick at consultantconnect.org. That's N-I-C-K at consultantconnect.org if you have any questions.
And for those of you that may not realize, if you've already purchased your tickets for economics and want to upgrade to a sponsorship, that is an opportunity that still is available to you. So check with Nick if you're interested in upgrading to that sponsorship level.
Hey, everyone. So glad you're tuning in for this week's episode. I'm Nick Riashi, and today I'm talking with Justin Bickel, who's Director of Business Development and Project Management at Columbus 2020. There, Justin consults clients through the site selection process to help them take advantage of the Columbus region's business advantages, and he works with the project management team to provide best-in-class client service. He shares some really amazing insight today, so let's tune in. Well, hey, Justin, I want to jump right in. You know, what are some of the biggest challenges that leaders are facing today?
Sure. So I can appreciate actually this entire line of questioning specific to facing challenges, and it can be addressed in so many different ways, I think, depending upon what your core product or your core focus as a company or industry or sector is. But specifically, I think for economic development, because you know, some of us work in a very narrow space and some of us, you know, a much broader space if we're talking from a state or regional perspective. And we all have very defined missions. And I think one of the biggest challenges these days, especially, is there's so much outside noise. There's so much political outside noise. There's so much private sector outside noise. There's so much pressure on economic development professionals at all levels. And the outside noise, I think, makes it very difficult at times to stay focused and stay on mission and providing and delivering service to clients, to customers, and your customer may be the private sector, maybe the public sector. You know, and I think things like success and praise can force or cause complacency and divert attention away from driving home the mission and being focused and achieving what got you to where you were or where you are and into the future. And then I think, you know, I mean, especially for some successful organizations, specifically in economic development, I think there can be a scope creep from the standpoint of some entities, some organizations, some companies wanting you to be the anything and everything, the problem solver for housing issues, the problem solver for planning issues, the solver for jobs, investment, everything. And a lot of that can steer you away from what I think is very important at the end of the day, and that is delivering your mission, delivering on your mission, and being steady, really.
Well, sure. And I think a lot of economic developers can agree that, you know, the profession can be a thankless job, and a lot of the noise isn't always positive. So, you know, we've seen it derail some, you know, leaders' careers. And kind of getting into that question, what is another behavior or trait that you've seen derail a leader's career other than, you know, listening to that negative outside noise, and kind of how do you guard against it?
Sure. You know, and this may sound hypocritical, but based off what I just said, but I think from my perspective and being involved with, you know, the private sector and, you know, being an observer on the national and global scale, being unacceptant to change, recognizing that change is necessary and healthy and inevitable, being acceptant to change for the right reasons and evaluating and implementing that change. You know, we talk about being stuck in autopilot, you know, being complacent, going with just what worked. No, I think that's okay. But incorporating things like new blood from the sense of new employees that come on board, encouraging them to be vocal, to bring their experience, to bring new, fresh ideas, because you may or may not have been successful as an organization in the past or the present. But either way, I think being accepted to change and being open to new ideas is extremely healthy and beneficial for leaders, for one, and how they lead, and then the future success of their organization.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I heard once that as a leader, it's awesome to have a mentor that's both 10 years older and 10 years younger than you, because you get, you know, different perspectives from, you know, different generations. So I think that's really great.
That's exactly right.
So speaking of, you know, someone that would be going into leadership for, you know, the first time, I know the economic development profession is kind of getting younger. You're seeing even some colleges offer that as a major, as a program. So you're seeing, you know, the economic development profession, you know, start to get a younger demographic. What kind of advice would you give to someone that's going into leadership position for the first time?
I think there's a lot of ways to answer this. But for me, being aware and empathetic, I think, is a key criteria or a key characteristic that a leader should possess. And being aware in the sense of going into leadership role and leadership responsibilities, knowing that perfection is really something that is impossible. I mean, you are going to face so many obstacles. And the pursuit of perfection is always something that I think drives us all. But understanding that that is not achievable. So finding the growth and the positivity and being imperfect, I think has helped me, you know, number one, just grow as a professional. And two, I think grow in kind of a leadership role too. And just understanding that and being aware and knowing that leadership is not a, you know, one size fits all approach. There are many different ways to lead and encourage leadership from colleagues and teammates and team members, even if they may or may not have, as you just mentioned, that age, that background, that experience from a depth standpoint, but encouraging them in the sense of there are ways to be a leader as not defined by your title or your experience.
Yeah, I think that's a really great answer. So as you think about your leadership journey, who is someone that's kind of been a mentor to you, you know, as a leader, and what characteristic did they have that you think every leader should possess?
I've had the benefit of number one, I think, just being a part of this organization and learning from people like Kenny McDonald and Matt McCollister and Patty Huddle, just on our team from a leadership standpoint. So it's very difficult for me to just point one person out, but I think that, you know, going back to being relatable and being empathetic, you know, because how you treat others, I think really matters, you know, and remembering what it was like as a young professional, you know, first starting out, whatever you may have gone into out of college. I would say that most of us right now that are mid-career probably never knew what economic development was in high school, and probably certainly didn't when we first entered college, and whatever path we took brought us here, and we remember what it was like. And I think sharing those experiences and being empathetic is that quality that I think, you know, and being a leader and learning from someone is something that is invaluable. If I can get corny for a second, I think that I'm a sports fan, and I know you guys are in Michigan, so I apologize. My Indians just beat up on your Tigers again, but I
you and everybody else.
You know, I look at someone like the Indians manager, Terry Francona. And he is kind of like, he's the epitome of someone that gets the best out of everyone, the best out of everyone that he coaches, that he manages, that he employs from an assistant coach standpoint. And there's a quote that he has said in the past about the experience. And I kind of relate this. I'll get to it at the end, but he says, the first thing that my dad would ask me after a game is if I had fun, if I hustled, and if I tried my best. I've never felt pressure from him. He was a father first and a coach second. And I think that, to me, speaks volumes to the empathetic and being relatable role, you know, and flipping this in the experiential is, you know, being a mentor and a coach first and a manager and a supervisor second, I think enables those who are part of your team or part of your mission and your journey to understand, you know, what it's like to be in their shoes, and that you are encouraging, and that you are someone who possesses the characteristics and qualities to achieve peak performance that they're looking for in a leader.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to that, you know, we're all guides. We want them to be the heroes, and, you know, we want to be the coach and guide. So I think that's a great answer. And I also appreciate the Terry Francona reference rather than an Urban Meyer reference, you know, so that's great.
Right.
So, Justin, as you've gone through your career, what are some things that you're doing to ensure that you're growing and developing and continuing to learn? Because I know this profession is all about, you know, continuous growth. What are some tips you might have for the audience that are helping you do that?
Well, what you guys are phenomenal at in creating platforms like Next and Thrive that I've been, you know, lucky to be a part of last year and will next month and through the end of this year. When we're talking about industry specific and leadership specific, is something that has been very beneficial for me, because I don't think that you can get enough peer perspective. You know, I talked about being open to new ideas and being open to change. You know, it's not a one size fits all approach. And I think if you are of the mindset of it's your way or the highway, you're not going to last very long as a leader in your role. I'm one that I think seeks experiences. Whether or not you are, as you mentioned, 10 years older than me or 10 years younger than me, you have a different perspective. You have a different set of experiences to help me grow as an individual and develop as a leader. You know, so I participating in specific industry things. You know, I've also and encourage, you know, my teammates and colleagues through things like academia. I participated in a public and nonprofit leadership program. That was almost a whole school year through Ohio State. And most, if not all, of the people who participated in that were public sector folks from different departments and organizations at the state level, at the local level. And not something that I really would have envisioned going into it, but I probably got more out of that and their experiences and understanding their perspectives than I have in most other things in my life. And then I think the last thing that I would say is, from an industry standpoint, there's something phenomenal that happens in Columbus every August, and it's called the Big Table. And it empowers people in the community to reach out to peers, regardless of, you know, their walk of life, their position, their title, their organization, and invite them to sit down at whatever size of quote unquote table and talk about things, you know, talk about and agree upon one issue that they'll spend an hour or 2 hours on. But taking that a step further, I think what I've gotten out of is doing that just on a regular basis, developing a circle, developing a relationship with people from all different backgrounds and experiences on a consistent basis to do just that, you know, to learn from them and take things and incorporate into my experience here at Columbus 2020 and our organization, I think has been very helpful too.
Yeah, I mean, we've never lived in a time where we've had so much access to not just information, but to people.
Right.
I mean, you can reach out to anybody that you want in any industry that you want, and there's so many different ways to reach out to them. And I think we're so lucky to be able to learn from whoever and whatever we want. So I think that's great. So Justin, you're one of the best economic developers on one of the best economic development teams in the country. What are you most proud of in your career, both professionally and maybe even personally as a leader?
I mean, to be honest, yeah, I grew up in Central Ohio. I grew up about 30 miles east of here, and that community is in our region, our geographic scope that I get to serve every day. And again, as corny as it may sound, number one, that growing up here, never would have envisioned this place and this place being the city of Columbus and the region as vibrant and successful and nationally and globally known as it is today. And being a part of not creating that environment, but being a part of a platform that capitalizes on things that were here in place and the opportunity for private and public collaboration that we have here, not just in this market, but in the state. I mean, it's been a real honor for me to be a part of this team and deliver every day things that I never would have thought would be attainable or achievable for this region. So it's been very rewarding to be a part of this and a part of the success. And I think that we're well positioned for the future. I look forward to the next iteration of what Columbus 2020 will be here very soon, continuing down that path to be a very small part in creating a place that's sustainable and vibrant for this community.
You mentioned small part, and I think that's being very modest. You know, I think what economic developers sometimes don't realize is that, you know, we're all shaping, you know, the future of America. So I think that it's important to remember, you know, again, goes back to the mission. So, you know, kind of speaking of that, you know, what does that mean to you to be an American?
That is such a good question. Such a tough question to not let that take you down the path of turning it political. But for me, and I'm not bogarting, I heard Gray's interview with you all and that same question being asked. And I think that it's the best answer. And that's being able to have conversations like this, to be able to make decisions, whatever they may be, personally or professionally, that I feel are in my best interest, controlling my own destiny. Being afforded that opportunity in this country, I think, is really what defines for to be an American. And, you know, understanding that we all come from different places and backgrounds, but that does not define who we are and what our future is. So having the opportunity to take advantage of being American and creating your own destiny and having the understanding that whatever is going on around you from a political climate perspective, that it's only temporary. You know, someone else will be in that position in the future, and that is not what defines you personally or you as a country. And you have the opportunity to create your own path. So I think that for me is what it means to me to be an American is being able to create my destiny.
I think that's so great. It's the land of opportunity. So I think that's really a great answer. Well, Justin, I appreciate you spending a few minutes with us today. It's been great, you know, hearing about your leadership journey and sharing it. Thank you for sharing it with our audience.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey everyone, this is Carla and Justin Bickel. Man, he is such a dynamic guy. That team at Columbus 2020 is just firing on all cylinders, so full of great insight and great nuggets of information. Next week, we get the pleasure of talking with Consultant Connect's very own. So we are going to have Ron Kitchens on the podcast to talk about his leadership journey. And as I'm sure most of the listening audience is aware, Ron is kind of the leader of both Southwest Michigan First and Consultant Connect. He is chock full of amazing insight. He's written several books now, the most recent one, Uniquely You. And he has over 35 years, and I'm just really excited about the interview with Ron. You won't want to miss it.